Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and reading from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. And our subject this evening is the Christian athlete. The Christian athlete. Well, last week we considered those tremendous words of the Apostle Paul, of how he says in verse 22, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And the theme through those verses that we considered last week, and really through the whole of chapter 9, and even beginning in chapter 8, the theme is practicing self-denial to help our witness, to improve our Christian life. That is what the Apostle Paul was doing. That is what he affirms when he says those words, I am made all things to all men. He's denying himself. That's what he means. When I witness to other people, I am denying my background. I am denying my own culture. I am not considering, not affirming my own learning. My witnessing is all about other people. It's all about the people I'm bringing the message to. It's about affirming them and bringing them to Christ. I am denying myself, and I'm becoming all things to all men. The audience that is before me, I will consider them before I consider myself, that I might by all means save some. So those were the words. Essentially, he's saying, my witnessing is not about me at all. It's about others and nurturing them and bringing them to Christ. But then, in verse 24, he is going to continue this theme by using a great illustration, a sporting illustration, that of an athlete taking part in a race. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Well, there were many sporting events at this time in history. There was one particular set of games that was practiced in the vicinity of Corinth. It was called the Isthmian Games. And it was sort of like a scaled-down version of the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games were in existence at this point in history, but Corinth had its own version, and it was a sort of scaled-down event. But of course, there were all the usual events. There was running, there was jumping, there was throwing things, darts and so forth, and discuses. And, well, this illustration would have been very well known to the hearers and to the readers of this letter. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? These games were very popular in Corinth. And, the population, the inhabitants, they loved the games. They would flock to them. In fact, it has been said of the people in those times and in that region that they only demanded two things of their rulers: bread and games, bread and sports. And well, you could almost say that nothing much has really changed in today's society. but they loved their games, and so mention of this illustration would have been very pertinent to them. So the Apostle Paul is likening the Christian life and the Christian witness to a race that must be run in order to obtain a prize. The Christian life, a race that must be run. What is the prize that the Christian acquires at the end of his race? What is that prize? What do we receive at the finishing line? Well, the prize is, of course, heaven. The prize is eternal life. The prize is Christ himself. That is the great prize. We enter into eternity in the presence of our God. We shall worship him and serve him forever in that new heaven and that new earth. That is our great prize. When that day comes, well, we'll be lost in wonder, love, and praise because Christ has arrived and he is our prize, the one who has loved us so well, the one who is our Saviour. And so we run this race to obtain that prize. We run it, well, I must mention this, we run it out of love for the prize ahead of us. Athletes, well, they run for glory. They run, possibly nowadays, for cash prizes, for sponsorship, for fame. That's why they run. We as Christians, we run out of love for the prize. We know that Christ has given himself for us. We know that he has suffered and died to make atonement for our sin because he loved us, and so because he has done that, we are full of love for him, and that is why we run the race, for that great prize. We run out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for our own vainglory, and that is very important to consider. But it is a race. This is how the apostle describes it. It is a race that we have to run. Why is it called a race? Is that a good analogy? Is that a good illustration? Well, the first thing we must say is when we call it a race, we're not racing against one another, against other Christians. I've mentioned this before. The Christian life is not a competition against others. Who's going to be the best Christian? Am I doing better than her? Am I doing better than him? We're not racing in that sense at all. It's not amongst us. But race implies something very important and very useful for us to learn. Race, it implies urgency. If you're running in a race, well, of course, we have to do things with great urgency. And the message the Apostle Paul is saying, the Christian life is urgent. It's not something that we can just stroll through and stroll past. The Christian life is urgent. Yes, we may well be saved. We may well know the grace of God for ourselves. But there are countless people around us who are unsaved, who are lost, who are heading for eternal condemnation. And so we must strive to reach them as soon as we can. We must be urgent about reaching them. We never know how long we have left with an unsaved person. Are you witnessing, perhaps, to somebody who's elderly, who's advanced in years, a parent or a grandparent? How long do you have with that person, humanly speaking? If they're in their 70s, if they're in their 80s, you don't have very long with them. And so we have to be urgent in seeking to reach out to them. Urgent in our evangelism, urgent in what we have to do and what we have to say. We don't know, of course, how long we'll be on this earth. We don't know how long we will have to witness to somebody else. And so we have to act with great urgency. And of course, we never know when that great day of judgment is going to be upon us. We don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, so we have to act with urgency. This is why the Apostle Paul, well, he uses this analogy of a race. It's also a race, if I can apply it in this way, against the enemy of souls. We don't often think of it in this way, but it's a race against Satan, if I can put it in this way. Satan is very busy. Satan is very urgent in his business. He doesn't waste any time at all when he wants to deceive people, when he wants to strengthen the unbelief of the masses. He is busying himself, wanting to captivate people and blind them and confuse them with false religions. So if we just sit back and relax, well, Satan is just going to claim so many more people. He's not going to wait around. He's going to go and conquer and plunder in that malicious way that he does. So we are in a race with him. We have to reach others before he does, if you put it that way. This is why we have, or one of the reasons why we have a Sunday school. Because we know that from a very early age, particularly in this culture, Satan's not going to hang around. Even when the people, well, children are very young, 3 years old, even younger, 2 years old, Satan is orchestrating things in the background, in the culture, in the TV programs, presenting to them false philosophies, ungodly aspirations, ungodly dreams, ungodly promises, hopes and desires, confusing people, twisting their minds, turning them against God. Even from a very early age, you watch some of these children TV programs. What are they peddling? What are they saying to the children? Oh, you don't need God or anything else. You can be what you want to be. Follow your dream. Reach for the stars. That's what all the children's programs have. No talk about spiritual things. No talk about your souls. Satan doesn't waste any time. As soon as they are 2, 3 years old, perhaps even earlier, he's in there influencing them. So we are in a race against him. And we have to educate the children. There is a God. There is a God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. There is a judgment ahead of us. We must have faith in Christ before it is too late. He is our only hope of salvation. We are in a race against Satan. And so this is why we labor with all our might to put on a Sunday school and to gather children in, to teach them, because we are in a race. And of course, this is a great part of our prize nowadays. When we are in the race, our prize is not just at the very end, but our prize, if you like, in this life, is seeing souls come to Christ, seeing children come to Christ, seeing men and women come to Christ. That ought to be our prize in this life. This is forgotten in many churches. Churches preach that if you're a Christian and you attend the services and you're a good Christian person, your prize is a good life. Your prize is a healthy bank account, a great career. That's your prize. No, the prize that we ought to seek, the salvation of souls, because we're in a spiritual battle. A race against spiritual enemies. This is the prize that we aspire to. We're in a race for the hearts and the minds of the people. A race to see souls saved, not condemned. If we hang about, if we don't want to run, then Satan will run ahead of us and claim even our loved ones for himself. But, well, my final point on this, well, Satan, he's not just on a mission to convert all those to his evil ways and to lead people into eternal loss, But of course, he's battling against us. We are in a personal race against Satan and against the enemies of our souls, particularly if we are active Christians. Well, we are running the race. If we are serving the Lord, if we are living a godly life, we're running in this race. Satan is directly behind us. He's at our heels. He's looking to trip us up, cause us to fall and stumble. He's running right after us, Satan and his demons and all those evil principalities. We are in the race, but Satan is right behind us, right on our heels. He wants to make a fool of us. So we have to be sure that we are well ahead of him in the race, looking to that great end. How can we make sure that Satan doesn't distract us? Well, we look well ahead of us. An athlete, when he is in the race, he looks at the finishing line. That's the only place he looks at. He's focused on his goal. That's how we are to succeed in the Christian race. We look at the end. Where are we heading? We're heading for heaven, for Christ, for eternal glory. We ought to be heavenly minded. That will give us strength in the race. That will help us run faster with greater vigor and with greater fervency. We look ahead and we know where we are heading. Of course, if we're not truly saved, if we're not sure that our final resting place is heaven, well then, of course, it doesn't matter whether we look there or not. We have to be sure that we are heading to that place. We have to have that assurance that we will get to heaven and be blessed eternally, or else we will not be strengthened in our race. But well, the devil, he's always on our heels. The devil always wants to make us look back. Don't look at Christ. Don't look at the end. Look back. Look back to your old life. Look back to your old habits. Remember your old sins. Oh, don't you miss your old life? That's what Satan always wants us to think about, to look back. But well, dear friends, we ought not to look back. And well, I read from Philippians chapter 3, and I just read a couple of verses for you. The words of the Apostle Paul again, chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying this even in his letter to the Philippians. I am in the Christian race. I am looking to Jesus at the end of the race. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, those things that Satan wants to remind me of. I'm forgetting those things, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, you see, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's practically the same sentiment, the same theme. I press, I run toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he runs toward him, forgetting all those things which are behind and looking toward those things that are ahead. Well, is that us? Are we looking always to those things that are ahead of us, our prize, or are we looking back to what we were before, missing our past life? I'm sure all of us remember what happened to Lot's wife. Lot's wife, remember the direction given to her? Don't look back. Don't look back to Sodom where you've come from. But she did look back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. If we are to run this race, we don't look back, we only look ahead, looking to the finishing line, looking unto Jesus. He is the strength that we need to run this race effectively. So we make sure we are well ahead of Satan, because we can be sure He will always be at our heels. But while Paul gives us further instruction as to how to run this race, verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Every man that striveth for the mastery. The word in Greek means agonizes. Every man that agonizes for the mastery is temperate in all things. I remember when I was a youngster at school, I used to do some sport, not much, but some sport. And one of the things I used to do was the 800 meters, that track event, two laps of a 400 meter track, the 800 meters. And that was one of the events that I was reasonably good at. But I always remember when you turn the bend on that last straight in the 800 meters, well, it was pretty agonizing. The muscles were really aching. There was great pain there. It wasn't a comfortable experience. It was a costly experience. But that is what the Christian life is. It's a costly experience. It requires sacrifice. It requires discipline. It may even be painful at times if we are to run this race. But we strive for the mastery. We're prepared to endure that agony. Like any good athlete. Any good athlete, he doesn't just give up when it starts to hurt. He pushes through the pain barrier. And well, if this is the illustration we're to follow, this is how we ought to be as Christian people. Even when things get uncomfortable and difficult and hard, we push on. We press on. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate, as we considered on the Lord's Day morning, that means self-controlled, self-mastery, discipline. An athlete, of course, if he is to take part in the Olympic Games or any event, well, he has to be disciplined. Of course he does. He has to watch what he eats. He has to make sure he trains well. He has to make sure he gets up on time. I've heard of some Olympic swimmers. They get up at 5 a.m. to make sure they swim for 3 hours before they go to work or before they do anything else. There's discipline involved. There's self-mastery involved. We have to watch, well, an athlete has to watch what time he gets up, of course, what time he goes to bed. If he doesn't take notice of any of these things, if an athlete just eats what he wants and gets up when they want and neglect their training, well, then they're going to weaken themselves. They're not going to be fit to run on that track. They're not going to be fit to compete. And so it's the same. It's an illustration, you see. It's the same for the Christian life. Are we disciplined in our spiritual disciplines? And well, I speak to myself as much as to any of you. Are we disciplined or do we weaken ourselves? Do we neglect those things which strengthen us in the Christian life? Do we make sure we get up early to spend time in the Word of God, to spend time in prayer? Or do we go out into the world, into our workplaces, into our places of study, weakened spiritually because we haven't read the Word of God and we haven't prayed at all? We've weakened ourselves. Oh, how much we ought to be disciplined. Get up in time for a proper devotion, disciplined in our prayer life. Well, we must watch against ill discipline. These things will only weaken us, and Satan will catch up with us and trip us up. Do we deliberately weaken ourselves? You can be weakened by the things you watch. Maybe you're a Christian, you love reading the Word of God, and sometimes you have great faith. Then you go and watch something on the TV or on the internet. And you can tell that it's soiling your conscience and your soul, and you're being weakened. All that love that you had for God in your time of devotion, all that strength that you had in your prayer, you knew that God was listening, you were so strengthened in your soul because you knew that you had communed with God. Oh, it's entirely lost now because I've just watched some worldly film. Or I've watched something on the internet I know I shouldn't have watched. It's all gone. My strength is all gone. That is a terrible thing. We've weakened ourselves. We haven't been disciplined. Well, it's not just in the things we watch, the things we say, the company we keep. Do you come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, but then in the week you mix with worldly company and they weaken you with their conversation, with their jokes, with the things that they want you to watch? You're being weakened throughout the whole week. Oh, we must be disciplined in all these things. An athlete would be disciplined. Why are not we disciplined? We have to strengthen ourselves. Rather than weakening, let's strengthen ourselves. And let me put it to you in this way, because this is so important. We must always try to maximize our potential. Maximize our potential. You see some Olympic events, let's say the weightlifting, for example. Well, a weightlifter in the Olympic Games, he won't stop in the tournament until he's reached his absolute limit. He's not going to pick up a weight and do it comfortably and then just go home. He's going to continue in his event until he can't do any more. And you see sometimes, I'm sure you've seen this, a weightlifter struggling to lift something, and then if he can't do it, then he's out. But he will give his utmost strength to lift that weight. He won't stop until he's reached his personal best or even broken the world record or whatever. But this is a great example for us. Are we the same? Do we look to achieve our personal best, as it were, in our Christian lives? In our Christian lives. Just like an athlete is always asking himself, well, how fast can I actually run? How high can I actually jump? We as Christians must say to ourselves, how committed can I actually be in my Christian life? How holy can I be in my Christian life? If I really tried, how holy could I be? How devout could I be? How obedient could I be to God in my life? If I really tried, like an athlete trying to participate in the Olympic Games, if I really tried, how holy could I be? How much earlier could I get up to spend time with the Lord in prayer? How many more meetings could I attend? Do you attend once a week, twice a week? Are you content with that? How about trying three times a week? Can you do that? Or four times a week? We have four meetings in a week. Can you do that? Can you break your personal best? Oh no, I only attend normally just twice or three times or only once perhaps. Are you trying to beat your personal best? This week I'm going to attend three meetings or four meetings, like an athlete always trying to better himself. Or are we just content with what we do? Service, of course, in your witness. Well, perhaps you may have had some conversations with people, but have you ever given a tract or a CD or invited people to come to the church? Have you attempted to beat your personal best in witness? What have you not done in your witness that you could do? This is all, well, it's all put forward to us in this illustration. Now, obviously, there are limits. We all have limits, physical limits, limits on time. But I ask you to consider this illustration. An athlete, well, when they're interviewed at the end of their event, more often than not, they will say to the commentator, what I tried to do, I just wanted to push my limits to the very utmost. And that ought to be our attitude as Christian people. How much more ought we to do it? Because as the Apostle Paul says here at the end of verse 25, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, something temporary, but we an incorruptible. They do it just to obtain, well, in those times it was just a wreath, a laurel upon their head, a corruptible crown that can fade. But we an incorruptible. So we, in a sense, ought to be outdoing their efforts, outdoing their feats of strength. We are going to obtain an incorruptible crown, a crown that will never fade. We are entering into glory. Just think of that eternal glory, eternal peace and joy. A place where there is no strife, no war, no sin. You will not be able to sin. No guilty conscience, no failure at all, no death, no grief. God will wipe away every tear from your eye. That is the incorruptible, eternal glory we're heading for. How much more ought we to labor than these athletes which do it just for a medal, just for temporary glory? Well, this is so challenging for us. And again, well, it applies to every single one of us. But I must draw to conclusion because time has very quickly run away from us and I haven't given myself much time to look to the end of this chapter. But well, the Apostle Paul says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's speaking about his assurance. We spoke about the Apostle Paul and his assurance on the Lord's Day. An athlete, when he runs a race, well, he doesn't know if he's going to win it or not. But the Apostle Paul, he knows that there's victory at the end of his race. He's not uncertain like an earthly athlete. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know there's victory for me at the end. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. When I labor for the Lord, I don't labor in vain. I'm not like a boxer who sometimes when he swings a punch, he misses. He just punches the air. I'm not like that. When I labor, when I exert myself, it's never in vain. I'm not like a boxer that beats the air. My victory is secure because Christ has purchased the victory for me. I simply have to run the race and claim the victory. But Christ has won it for me. But well, even though the victory is won for me, that doesn't mean that I just rest on my laurels. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. Well, the words of the Apostle Paul here. And well, this is the Apostle Paul, lest we forget, the Apostle Paul speaking, that he might be a cast away. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that he can lose his salvation. He cannot lose his salvation. He knows that his salvation is purchased by Christ. But he can lose much in this life, in this earthly race. He can lose much. If he doesn't discipline himself, if he lives an undisciplined life, if he falls to Satan, if Satan trips his heels and he falls, well then he can be exposed as a hypocrite. He who has preached to others will be exposed as a hypocrite. He doesn't practice what he preached. And then he will be cast away. Those around him will not listen to him. Will not listen to his words, will not hearken to the message that he has to deliver. His instrumentality will be taken away. His usefulness will be taken away. God will no longer be pleased to use him for the salvation of others. That's what he means, a cast away. And well, that can happen to any of us. If we live those ill-disciplined lives, we are, well, cannon fodder for Satan. And perhaps one day we'll be exposed to be great hypocrites in our churches, and we'll be so ashamed, and we won't be able to enter into our places of worship again. And well, all our fellowship, all our joy will drain away. It will be as though we have been cast away by God. We'll be saved at the end, but in this life, in this race, we'll be cast away. That is what Paul is saying to us. So, well, we must seek to avoid that. We must be disciplined. We must be sharp. We must look to always strengthen ourselves, just like an athlete. And well, then we will be taken up and be granted that crown that is incorruptible, and our joy will be blessed forever. Well, I will end at that stage. We will enter into chapter 10 next week. But may that be a blessing and a challenge to every single one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we know that we have labored in the race many times in our life. Oh Lord, we have not looked ahead to that great and eternal prize, that incorruptible crown. We have looked back. We have considered earthly things and carnal things, and Satan has tripped us up. Oh Lord, we ask that Thou bless us and strengthen us and help us always to look to Thee. Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.